gentlemen, welcome back to season 3 of the Roundtable Rundown podcast, coming at you straight from Studio City, California at Harvard Westlake High School. I am one of your 3 co-hosts, Gideon Hyman, here with Alexander Hyman and the William Mallory.
What's up, guys?
Hey, guys.
Thank you guys for joining us back for season 3. It's crazy to say that it is that time of year already. We are back in the thick of things. No more wasting your time watching baseball games. Sorry, Dodger fans. And now you can actually watch some real sports on the weekend. Today is Thursday, meaning we have Thursday night football coming at you with the Jaguars and the Titans. However,
wow,
I hate to say it.
Game.
It's going to be a Gardner Minshew matchup, the new sex symbol of the NFL, which we can talk about in a little bit. But we have the Titans facing off against a possibly Jalen Ramsey-less Jaguars, but it looks like he may be playing. So with that being said, let's start it off with Will Mallory. Who do we have tonight in the Thursday night matchup?
You know, I couldn't really tell you. It's not something I've been thinking about a lot for the past couple of days. But,
right. You
know, I would expect the Jaguars to actually defend their home field here. This might seem really stupid because this is going to release next week sometime.
Sure.
And we're going to know the result. And most likely, Titans probably blow them out. But I'm going to go with the Jaguars here at home. I think that home field advantage and Gardner Minshew is not that bad. Like I watched him at Washington State for a little bit, and the guy can play. He was a senior.
He had a week last year too.
Exactly. Last week, and he has some attitude to him too. So I definitely think that he could pull something off, especially against this Titans team that doesn't really have an identity at quarterback. I would argue that Mariota is on the way out right now. So
I agree. I don't trust Marcus Mariota to be that guy in the playoffs. I think both of these teams. I was so excited for the Jaguars before the season started. I thought
Nick Foles, by the way, that first quarter that he had or whatever.
Listen,
he played
Foles was the answer for the Jaguars. They had a solid defense returning. They had a shutdown guy in Jalen Ramsey. They had a pass rush. They drafted Josh Allen, and I thought Nick Foles was the missing link. And you know, it turns out that there's chaos in Jacksonville right now. Jalen Ramsey wants out. We'll talk about a little bit later about where we think he should go. But I'm telling you, Thursday night games are always the most boring games to watch, and that trend continues with this game tonight.
Probably will. But listen, I'm pissed off a little bit about Jalen Ramsey, about this whole thing, because it's not only him. It's every other player before. It's the Melvin Gordons. It's the, it's turning into the NBA where you can kind of request your way out of the your team and your situation. The Dolphins, if you look at the Dolphins players, even Minka Fitzpatrick requested a trade within a week. He's now on the Steelers. Like, you should not be able to do this. You sign a contract for a certain amount of years. Mm-hmm. You should at least live up to that. If not, you should play and reorganize it as going. You should not just say you want to trade and then not play until
that's unbelievable. So, in your opinion, do you think that applies to rookies as well who don't get to choose where they get drafted, obviously?
Do you think after their
3-year
contract, you're saying?
So, Minka Fitzpatrick was a rookie last year, didn't choose to go to the Dolphins, showed up there.
It doesn't matter. You're getting paid a good amount of money, especially if you're a first-round pick.
You're
going to pay
millions of dollars to play football.
The team that drafts you should not have to worry about whether you want to play for that team or not. If you're getting a chance to play in the National Football League, you should be happy to go anywhere you want.
And
I don't care if it's Jacksonville.
Like, resolve. You know, what happened to these guys fighting through adversity and I mean, this is like, what, one fight the Jacksonville Jaguars had? They might have been more.
Here's the bottom line. We don't know what actually went down. It looked like some pretty nasty conversation went down between Doug Marrone and Ramsey on the sideline.
But what I'm saying is all these older football players are coming out and saying, you know, we fought through a lot, and that is what got our team together, and they won Super Bowls out of it. So I agree with that. I think the only way to become a close team and to become a team that wins a Super Bowl besides Brady and Belichick, whatever, is to have adversity you fight through and to create those bonds so you'll fight for your brothers.
Look, I understand the motive when you look at it. Like, Jalen Ramsey had a very good reason for why he wanted to, because he wants to win. He said, I want to effing win. Like, that's what he said, and I get it. That's a good reason. But that doesn't mean you can just go to a winning football team. You can't pull an Antonio Brown and do all this. Like,
he very well may not go to a winning football team. He doesn't have a choice now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a choice. It's in the team's hands, and it's frustrating because if you look at Antonio Brown, for example, I don't really want to talk about him that much because I've heard so much about this offseason about him. But I do want to say, like, you can't just do that in principle, but he just did it.
Right.
Antonio Brown just did what you previously couldn't do. And so now all these other great players in the league are looking around and being like, look, I deserve this money too.
Sure.
So why don't I go to a winning team where I can win and get the money at the same time? pull an Antonio Brown, don't play.
Yeah.
It just seems absolutely ridiculous to me. I think you should play for the team for your contract. If you don't want to stay with a team for that long, if you don't think you have potential, don't sign a longer contract.
No, I mean, I agree with you, and I think it is becoming a lot like the NBA. Not to say that it's okay to happen in the NBA. I mean, to be honest with you, not to, you know, switch subjects here, but I think that it's a problem in the NBA as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And
well, I disagree with that, actually, because I think football and basketball have two very, very different circumstances. Number one, in basketball, it's only five guys, so it's a very star-heavy sport. Because one person can impact an entire championship run. We saw that with LeBron 8 years in a row. So because the star in basketball has so much power, I think that it's okay to do in the NBA. In football, however, you're only playing one side of the ball. So you're only playing...
I think that point doesn't make any sense. I mean, what's preventing how... Ooh, the lights just turned off, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a sign.
We are in the dark.
It's a sign.
It is a sign. So here's my question. How is that argument any different than a star like Melvin Gordon requesting a trade?
Because in football, these pieces are replaceable. We saw that by Austin Ekeler and all these other running backs who are stepping up by committee for the Chargers. Whereas in basketball, you cannot replace LeBron. You saw that when he left Cleveland and they went down to the number one pick. So when he left Miami.
Okay, but it's the same thing. How, like,
I would side with Alex.
It's not the same thing.
I do think it's more normal in the NBA because it works.
Right.
And do I think it's right? No. That's in fact why I don't even watch much of the NBA, because I think it's boring. How superstars are just coagulating in certain places.
Sure.
And I get it. That's but the bottom line, that does work. When you're talking about an NFL team, moving around might make you win might help you win a Super Bowl. It might help you get more money, but it's not going to make a massive impact unless you're talking about top tier quarterbacks. That's the only position.
Right. I think it's okay. Well, okay. So I think that Melvin Gordon was probably a bad example, because I hate to say it, but running backs are very disposable.
Yeah, they are.
So Jalen Ramsey, for example, will not be easily replaced by whoever their backup corner is.
That's fair.
Antonio Brown is not going to be well replaced by Hunter Renfro. You know, so. I think it depends on the position here. I hate to say it, but I mean, the bottom line, we can all agree, is it's not fun, and it's kind of sad to see it happen, and we don't like it. So let's move on here and talk about our friend Jalen Ramsey, who's going through it right now.
Yeah.
Well, I think it'd be really interesting to talk about where we think that he's going to go. Where do you think the best spot for him to be if he was traded?
You know, I haven't been covering too much of it, so I don't exactly know like who needs a corner and stuff like
sure.
that and
so,
what.
Allegedly, every team has reached out. Obviously, I feel like that's the right thing to do.
Every team should have reached out.
Right?
He's the best corner in the league.
The thing that I think is interesting is, I mean, as you guys probably know, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick got traded to the Steelers while Jalen Ramsey was available for a first-round pick. So
he has to go for more.
The Steelers
opted
to go for the younger talent as opposed to going for Ramsey. So obviously, this is telling us, hey, Ramsey's going to be worth at least a first-round pick now. Number one, and two, teams that you may not think need a corner, like the Steelers, who I really didn't think needed a corner, are going after talent. So my prediction for Jalen Ramsey, so he said in a podcast over the summer that he would love to play in Tennessee, where he's from, or in Oakland, because he wants – actually, Vegas, he said, because he wants to be in Vegas.
If he goes to the Raiders and Chucky pulls this off, I'm going to be shocked.
He doesn't get a choose, though. That's the difference. He doesn't get a choose in this situation. And
I'm not saying he's choosing. I'm saying if he goes to the Raiders, I'm going to be shocked.
I could very well see him going to a team like the Packers, who have two first-round picks.
It's all going to come down to teams with the picks, because at the end of the day, the Jaguars are looking for two first-round picks and maybe another conditional pick at some point.
Sure.
And that is not...
Or a player.
Exactly, and a player. But that is not... You're not tossing around seventh rounders.
Right.
You're tossing around first round picks who have potential to be superstars in the NFL. That's a big deal. And so it's going to come down to who's willing to offer that. And honestly, you probably shouldn't be willing to offer it unless you have those at your disposal. And so I think the Packers are a good option. I do think the Eagles are a good option. Only because they have history of, you know, of being aggressive
Howie
in
Roseman,
those things.
Right.
Exactly. And then their cornerback group, they're headlined by Ronald Darby, but he can't stay healthy. He's not that strong.
He's had a horrible start to the year so far.
And there's really no one else. They have Maddox, I think. They have some other players, but there's really no one else to step up. So I wouldn't be surprised if they go to Philadelphia. And honestly, Alex, you can see all this. I don't know if Gettleman would do it, but I do think the Giants are a landing spot.
I think it'd be ridiculous if the Gettleman
Hamilton
did
it. Looks horrible at corner, though.
Listen, our cornerbacks, our entire defense situation is terrible. But we need talent, and we need a lot of it.
Landon
so
Collins,
up,
where'd he go?
Honestly, giving up that many first round picks when they're going to be high first round picks. I mean, they have the potential to be in the top five, and so to give up that much for a corner who you're going to have to pay a lot of money in the next few years, it's really just not worth it.
That's very fair.
But I think one Sorry, go ahead, Will.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go.
I think one really amazing spot for him that could potentially happen, although they're saying it's probably not going to happen, would be Kansas City. Mm. I mean, for Kansas City to have...
I think it's very reasonable. Yeah, I could definitely
I think he
see
would be
happening.
An amazing addition to the team. The team does not have a lockdown corner. They improved their pass rush with Frank Clark and with other additions to the team.
They're currently starting a rookie
right.
from Virginia.
And to have a number one on that
Juwan
team
Juwan Thornhill.
I think, they could boot... push them into Super Bowl favorites if they get the lockdown corner
okay.
on the outside.
They're probably already Super Bowl favorites with that offense, but without Tyreek Hill, maybe not anymore. But
listen, and also the first round picks wouldn't matter that much for them because right. one, they have Patrick Mahomes, so they're not going to be.
They have everyone they need.
Team.
They have
everyone
with a bunch of different
so
good
they
players.
Can, and... I would if I was them, I'd give up two first round picks in a row, get a lockdown corner, and solidify that defense, which was the reason that they lost the AFC Championship last year.
I think
year.
We can agree with you. I mean, no more Marcus Peters there, but look, the bottom line is a trade's going to happen. You know, we've seen so many trades go down in the past mm-hmm. few weeks, whether it be Jadeveon Clowney, Laremy Tunsil, right. Kenny Stills.
Literally all of them have been, except maybe
it's crazy.
Or have been because they are frustrated where they are, which sure. I don't think how it should be. I don't think these trades should exist.
No, the Miami ones are different because they're just trying to tank for Tua.
So let's talk about that. What do you guys think about the whole Miami situation? Because it's funny, I was just in physics class, and my physics teacher actually taught Brian Flores. And we were talking about, shout out Mr. Miner, we were talking about what's going to happen. Do we think he's going to take the pitfall? Because it's not looking like they're going to win a lot of games this year, if they win any. And everybody in the locker room allegedly is very disgruntled.
Well, the thing that I'm confused about is...
Is how my physics teacher knows Brian Flores?
No, that is pretty cool. I don't get... I mean, I don't know that they're... They might be trying to tank. And if they are trying to tank, I don't know why. Because, number one, a quarterback can only do so much. We saw that year after year with Aaron Rodgers and how the Packers never gave him a defense, never gave him outside weapons.
Right.
And he was probably the best quarterback in the league at the time. And so to bet your franchise on a rookie mm-hmm. who many say doesn't have the most cannon of an arm in Tua Tagovailoa, but should be a pretty solid NFL player, It's a lot to wager, and Brian Flores could potentially be betting his job on Tua panning out.
Right. Well, if you think about it, like the whole strategy here of tanking is just frustrating the players more.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Players get, you know, upset and they want to leave, which is what we're hearing in these first reports. And then you do get one player, and it's like, does this rookie quarterback, is he really going to make up for all the lost great playmakers
right.
throughout this whole point? But I also do think that Flores is not necessarily trying to tank. I think that people...
I completely agree with you.
I think this whole idea of tanking is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in
right.
sports history.
Right.
I think it's stupid. There shouldn't be no reason whatsoever...
To intentionally lose
beyond the fact that you are 100% mathematically eliminated and it's like from the playoffs and,
right,
and
right.
you have to like you maybe have injuries. Like I get that at that point and that point only. Before that, as long as you're mathematically in it, you should be playing every game to win. And I actually do think in the next few games, Dolphins are going to steal one from someone. And it's not like they're not trying. I think that the Ravens are actually a really strong team, and I think that the Patriots are the Patriots. And the Patriots,
right.
Belichick's going to rub it in the face that he's a much better team than you. I think that's fair. But I do think that the Dolphins have something there. It's very, very little.
Sure.
Far less than any other team in the entire NFL. But I think they're going to win a game at some point here.
I mean, I agree with you completely. But my only contribution to this argument would be I think it's above the coach's pay grade. I think that this is coming straight from the owner, Stephen Ross. And so I think that, you know, he didn't have any say probably in the Minka situation. He probably had to deal with it. But I don't think he had much say in it. And so moving on. I was just thinking about Will Mallory's favorite team, the Broncos, for a second. And, you know, we were talking about Ravens. I was thinking about Joe Flacco. And I couldn't help but think about the fact that all of these rookie head coaches are struggling so much. And it really seems like LaFleur for the Packers is the only one who's been successful, although...
Well, LaFleur also has Aaron Rodgers.
He has Aaron Rodgers. I was just going to say that.
Right, but
and their defense
is
looking
defense.
Unreal.
Right.
Mike Pettine has put together one of the best Packers defenses I've probably ever seen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so...
I mean, it is two weeks. And it's funny, my dad always tells me that Jeffrey Lurie always says, after week two is the most misleading part of the NFL
sure,
season.
Right.
You have teams that are 2-0, you have teams that are 0-2, you think you have perceived notions of what they are,
right.
you have absolutely no idea. Mm-hmm. A 1-1 team could win the Super Bowl, an 0-2 team could win the Super Bowl, it's just whatever it is, you don't
right.
know. And so that's why I thought it'd be interesting to play this little game called Pretenders and Contenders.
Love it.
After week two, and just see what you guys think about certain teams that are 2-0, certain teams that are 0-2, and see where they're at. So I guess we can start with the top of the division at the AFC mm-hmm. East. We're looking at the Buffalo Bills. They actually put two really good showings out. They were losing mm-hmm. to the Jets. They looked awful in the first half. Right. Put a great comeback up, and then they looked pretty strong against a deflated Giants team. Do you guys think that this team is a pretender or a contender?
I would say pretender, only for the fact that they're in the AFC East, which is the division the Patriots are in, and the AFC is looking really, really strong this year. The Ravens are a real deal. The Browns, we'll see what happens with them, but I don't trust Josh Allen in those situations.
He looked good, though. He made some good throws.
He's a gunslinger. But what did he have, like 4 turnovers in the first half of one of those games, something like that?
I'm not sure.
It was something insane like that. But I don't trust – I think they're a pretender.
Hmm. I'm going with contender here, and let me tell you why. I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I think that they have at least 7 wins in them, wow. putting them at 9-7. Josh Allen's pretty legit. I hate to say it. And it doesn't look like they're missing Shady McCoy that much. And the lights go off again. Wow, there's something must be about that statement right there. Maybe we need Shady McCoy to come back. But so I don't know. I really liked Josh Allen. I like how athletic he is. I like how long and lanky he is. And I don't love Sean McDermott that much, if we're going to be honest here. Mm-hmm. But what do you think, Will?
I actually agree with you, Gideon. I think it's really hard because the Bills, for a whole lifetime, have been like kind of a mediocre team.
Sure.
And I think that right now it's hard to like perceive them as being good. But mm-hmm. what I've seen this first 2 weeks have been really impressive, especially from Josh Allen. And their defense is one of the top defenses in the league.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I love this Ed Oliver pick. I think he's going to flourish into a great top defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have a lockdown secondary, too. So I think this team can do some damage.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on. Let's see. Let's move on to, okay, this one's interesting because we were just talking about them, the Ravens. I think they're a legit team. I'm going to go off with contender there. Mm-hmm. But some people may argue that this is all just flash a little bit and that their first couple matchups weren't really as legit as some other ones. I mean, they had the Dolphins and, what, the Cardinals? Like,
sure.
Those are two not strong teams. So
the biggest news of the offseason is I can't even believe I'm saying this, but it turns out that Lamar Jackson is, in fact, not a running back.
And, or wide receiver, by the way.
So it turns out that man knows how to throw the football. And you're right. He played against the Cardinals defense, which is not very good. He played against the Miami defense, which was not very good. But he, like, didn't miss a completion for, like, 20 straight throws or something crazy. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Him and Hollywood Brown is an unbelievable connection. And I think they're going to keep riding that to the playoffs, probably. I think they're definitely a contender. Their defense is solid. Jim Harbaugh is a good coach, and he knows what he's doing.
By the way, watch out for them as a sneaky contender for Jalen Ramsey. I'm just saying.
That's a good point.
That'd be a crazy combo with Earl Thomas, Tony Jefferson, Marlon Humphrey, and Jalen Ramsey.
That would be insane. I've always been a big fan of Lamar Jackson. I've always hated the stuff about how he should be moved to running back, wide receiver, or whatever. The man won a Heisman Trophy. He threw like 7 touchdowns in 1 game in college. Mm-hmm. He can throw the football, and he's proving it every Sunday.
I agree. Okay, 2 more for you guys. First, San Francisco 49ers. What
Faker,
do you think?
Pretender.
Baker, Laker, Jaker.
Really? They've looked pretty good. I'm going to agree with you on this one, on both of you, but like I do think they looked pretty solid these first 2 weeks.
Completely agree with you. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's Shanahan or what it is, but okay, so let's give a little backstory here. I am number one Garoppolo fan. I was a Patriots fan for a long time. Literally, tears came out of my eyes when they traded him to San Francisco. I was thinking, Bill Belichick, what are you thinking? Turns out, I don't know if it was the injury last year or not, but he's off to a rough start.
Turns out Bill Belichick might know what he's doing.
So, I don't know. For now, in my opinion, they're faking it, and they're kind of pulling things through the right way, but I don't know if Garoppolo is the answer.
I agree, and they still have yet to hit on a defensive end that they've drafted. We'll see if Nick Bosa turns out well. Solomon Thomas was a bust. DeForest Buckner actually had a pretty good season last year, but their defense continues to be a problem, and I don't know. We'll see.
I agree. Okay, for this last one, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm just going to say throughout the whole NFC North division, you got the Bears, you got the Vikings, you got Packers, and you got the Lions. What's going on here? Because I have no idea.
I think that the Vikings are pretenders. I do not trust Kirk Cousins whatsoever. You're paying the man $80 million, and he can barely throw an apple to the trash can or whatever. I don't know. I don't think he can do it. Packers, if you got Aaron Rodgers, you're a contender. It's simple as that.
You saw last year, though. I mean, he's injury-prone the minute he goes down.
He is injury-prone. If Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, they will be a contender. If he gets hurt, their season's done. The Bears, I go back and forth. Their defense is really, really good. I don't know that I trust Trubisky at all. Mm-hmm. I know Gideon disagrees with me. I think he's a really big system quarterback, and I think that after a while you saw last year in the Rams in the Super Bowl, the Patriots figured out the Rams system, and I think that can be the same thing for the Bears.
Yeah, I do. I do think that all of Chicago right now is kind of like, you know, shaking in their snow boots a little bit right now because they know deep down that maybe Trubisky isn't the answer here. I've watched him, especially because of that heartbreaking loss the Broncos had last week. But I watched a good portion of that game, and I can tell you the first game against the Packers, that was atrocious. I thought maybe it was a blunder. But this second game wasn't any better. This kid is not polished yet. Right. And I feel like by season three, like you gotta start stepping up and establishing yourself as a quarterback. And some of these season two quarterbacks are looking much better than Trubisky is now.
Yeah,
I agree.
And that's a big red flag for the Bears.
Mm. Well, look, I mean, I wasn't the biggest fan of his at UNC. Not to say I was a fan of Goff's at Cal, but I think they're pretenders. And I hate to say it, but I think the Packers are back. And that's not because of Aaron Rodgers, although he's pretty good at his job. But their defense is looking so strong, and we know whether it be Russell Wilson, Seahawks, or whether it be Tom Brady being carried by the Patriots defense, or even the infamous...
Tom Brady being carried by the Patriots defense? I get it. The Patriots defense looks really good right now.
I'll give you a better example. Peyton Manning being carried by the Broncos defense in his last year with two fingers left. Or whether it be Eli Manning being carried by the Giants defense to the 2008 Super Bowl.
Or
the 2011 Super Bowl. A strong defense makes all the difference. And we know how powerful that can be with Aaron Rodgers.
He made it to the Super Bowl. Time he won the Super Bowl was with a top five defense, I think. They had Charles Woodson, Clay Matthews.
Look,
I mean, it
keep
shows.
Going. Who else was on that defense? Keep going.
I couldn't tell you.
I agree with this whole defense thing, and I think it's true for everything. But it is interesting to see if that's going to shift at some point. Mm-hmm. Because right now it's not. Mm-hmm. But the NFL is becoming more of an offensive. I feel like the offense is becoming more dynamic and powerful.
Sure.
If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, for example, they have not gone to the Super Bowl yet, but I do think they're very strong contenders this year.
The
Chiefs have not scored under 25 points in 23 games now.
That's
in a row.
That's ridiculous.
That's an insane stat right there. And
that's also
that
a
just shows
Andy
you
Reid's offense.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter who the defense you're facing. You know, they're going to put up 25 points. They're going to put up a lot of points. So maybe at some point, if teams are going to start following this rubric, if the Chiefs can have success, then the whole league is going to shift towards having more dynamic offenses and defenses who can just, you know, hold them to 25 points, not give up 40. So.
Well, speaking of explosive and dynamic offenses, Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, is starting week 3 for the New York Football Giants, which means Eli Manning is no longer starting for the Giants. It's the end of an era. It's the end of the Eli era.
Oh, how much we'll miss him.
Which I personally think should have ended a year ago, but I digress. I'm super excited for Danny Dimes. He looked good in the preseason. I get it. The preseason is nothing like the actual NFL. But I think that he's going to be solid. I don't think he's going to be superstar Aaron Rodgers, but I think he will be a solid starter for years.
Yeah,
what do you guys think?
We can get into the whole, I think some other time, but I think the Giants blew it on that one. They just screwed up. But I do think that Daniel Jones has potential, and I don't agree with you in that he's going to – I don't even think he's going to be solid. I think he's going to be shaky this weekend. I think he's going to be shaky for another couple weekends.
Oh, I totally agree. I think going forward.
I think if you commit to him as a starter, he has shown enough potential that he can become the guy in the future. So I'm excited to see what he does this weekend at Tampa Bay.
I don't expect it to go well this weekend. It's his first NFL start ever. But we'll see. Maybe he comes out guns blazing.
So we got a good weekend of football coming up.
Yep.
We have the Rams playing the Browns. A great game coming up tonight. We have a great game. Daniel Jones making his debut. Guys, football is officially back. Not to mention Harvard-Westlake football is back, but that's
another conversation. Not to mention college football and Jalen Ramsey.
That's true.
Not Jalen Ramsey, Jalen Hurts, excuse me.
Yeah, please don't get those two confused.
Listen, they're both great football players.
along with all the sports, the Roundtable Rundown conversation podcast empire is back, and we are glad to be back with you guys. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope to put out some more content for you soon. Make sure to check out our recent interview with Colin Coward and the Three and Out podcast at Harvard Westlake if you haven't had a chance, and we'll check in with you guys next time.
See you guys.
Bye, guys.